We heard a few moments ago the story of the Holy Spirit's arrival in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. Hear now another piece of scripture about the Holy Spirit, this one from the book of Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 14 through 17 and then verses 26 through 28. This is from Paul's writings, and this is where Paul writes about the role of the Spirit in our lives. Beginning in chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches our heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are some moments in our faith lives that we might describe as a mountaintop experience. These are moments of joy, moments of celebration, moments in which our faith just seems to kind of click into place. Things make sense, details are worked out, and we are thankful. This photo shows our children and some of our youth and helpers this past Wednesday night at their end of school year party. And you can see the joy and excitement on their faces. I love this picture because it shows how excited they are to be at church, how excited they are to be with their church family, with their friends and their Wednesday night classes. They are excited for what is happening in their faith lives in this moment. This was perhaps not exactly a spiritual mountaintop experience. They were playing water games. They were having a great time. But it was a moment that happened at church, a moment of great joy in their church experience. But there are other moments in our faith lives when being at church, when being in a faith community, when doing anything at all feels like much more of a struggle. We just want to hide under the pillows. These moments we might describe as low points in our faith lives. Sometimes these low points have a reason, such as a death or a conflict in a relationship. Perhaps it's a failure on our part or a failure on someone else's part that has affected us. For whatever reason, these low points can weigh us down and can make us feel like faith just doesn't make sense anymore. Sometimes these low points don't have an identifiable reason. We just feel disconnected from our faith. Sometimes we may find ourselves struggling to pray, struggling to muster the energy to come to church, struggling to feel connected to God and to our faith community. This morning, scripture readings remind us that God, through the Holy Spirit, is with us in both those high moments and those mountaintop moments of joy and celebration, and in those valley moments, those low moments where we struggle to feel connected to God. The Holy Spirit is with us through these highs and these lows and all of the in-betweens of our lives. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit shows up with a powerful and exciting display. This is a high moment. This is one of those mountaintop moments. There's a sound like the blowing of a violent wind that came and filled the whole house where they were gathered. Then tongues of fire came to rest on each of them. There was a tongue of fire on each person representing the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Spirit, which gave them the ability to speak in other languages, languages they did not know, languages they had not studied. And yet everyone, people from all over the world, could understand their own language being spoken. They said, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." This was a day of celebration, a spiritual mountaintop experience. And actually, it was a day of celebration even before the Holy Spirit showed up with such a spectacular appearance. Note that Acts 2 begins with the sentence, "When the day of Pentecost had come." It was already Pentecost even before the Holy Spirit showed up. The arrival of the Holy Spirit did not make it Pentecost. Pentecost was already a holiday. It was already a special holy day even before that. Pentecost is the Greek name for the Jewish festival that took place 7 weeks and one day after the Passover. It was a harvest festival. It was 50 days after the Passover. Pentecost means 50th day. And that is why there were so many Jews from all over the world gathered in Jerusalem. They were all there to celebrate Pentecost. It was already a holy day to celebrate God's gifts, to celebrate the gift of the harvest, the gifts God had given them. And all of this was already being celebrated when the Holy Spirit arrived and made it even more of a celebration. Remember the scene at the end of the movie A Christmas Story, where Ralphie has been waiting and hoping for that one special gift, that Red Ryder BB gun, for Christmas. All of the presents have been opened, and he has received some wonderful gifts. And then he discovers one more gift hiding behind the tree, which turns out to be, of course, the much-awaited, much-hoped-for, much-longed-for gift, the BB gun. And that's a little bit like what happened at Pentecost. This was already a special day. It was already a wonderful celebration, a day to give thanks to God for God's generous gifts. And in the midst of this celebration of God's gifts, of God's graciousness, of God's mercy, God sends yet another gift, a gift even more amazing, even more generous, even more exciting than that which they were already celebrating. God sends the gift of God's own Spirit. The Holy Spirit visited upon each believer like a tongue of fire. The story of Acts 2 is a story in which the good just keeps getting better. The Holy Spirit shows up in the midst of a celebration, making the festival even more special and even more memorable. This mountaintop moment is elevated from a normal mountaintop to a Mount Everest-level mountaintop. And unlike the actual Mount Everest, as we have seen recently in the news, the Holy Spirit can, in fact, accommodate all of the people who desire to approach. The Holy Spirit is for all of the believers. But as wonderful and as exciting as this dramatic appearance of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 is, that is not all that the Holy Spirit does. In Romans, Paul writes about how the Spirit is present with us and gives us strength through times of struggle and suffering. The Holy Spirit shows up in those spiritual mountaintop moments, but the Holy Spirit is also down here in the valley with us, even the deepest and darkest valleys of our lives, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Paul writes in Romans 8:26 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And when we do not know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes with groanings or with sighs too deep for words. What a powerful image of the Holy Spirit of God. The same Spirit that can come with fire can also come with these deep sighs, these deep groanings, a spirit of strength in our weakness, a spirit of power in our fear, a spirit of intercession in our inadequacies. In verse 15, Paul writes about the Spirit of adoption. The Greek word for adoption is literally translated to be made a child. And that is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit identifies that we have been made a child of God. We have received the Spirit of adoption, Paul says. The adoption of a child is a complicated process. There are many steps to go through. There is much emotional work to be done, both for the child, for the biological parents, for the adoptive parents. I read recently that adoption is joy born of loss. We often celebrate the joy of adoption, but sometimes we fail to acknowledge that the path to that joy, to being made a family, includes some significant loss. For children who are adopted and for families who adopt children, adoption is often not the end of the struggle. There is ongoing work that needs to be done to work through the losses that each has experienced and to grieve. In a similar way, when we are adopted as God's children, that is not the end of the struggle. It is not a celebration that we belong to God and that all of our problems are over and everything is happy. All of our problems do not magically disappear. There is still work to be done as we live into our identity as children of God. Paul says we have been given a spirit of adoption, not a spirit of slavery or fear, but even though we have been adopted by God into God's family, we still experience suffering. As Paul writes in verse 17, we suffer with Christ so that we may also be glorified with him. Paul uses the image of an heir, one who will one day have an inheritance. An heir is waiting to receive something in the future. And that is where Paul locates us. We are an heir. We are in waiting. We are waiting to receive the glory of God in the future. We have received the spirit of adoption. We have received this gift and this promise, but we are still waiting to receive the inheritance God has for us. These gifts are ours in the future, but not yet. Right now, there is still suffering, just as Christ suffered. We are adopted into God's family. We have been made children of God. But remember God's son, Jesus, and how he suffered. And so if we are God's children, we cannot expect to be exempt from suffering. Jesus certainly was not. And yet in our suffering, the Spirit is with us. We sometimes use the phrase, just like family, to talk about relationships we have with people who are not our biological or our legal family, but with whom we share a close and a meaningful relationship. You may have heard this word, framily. Friends who are like family. I've heard that used to describe that kind of relationship. We say someone is like family because we think of family as the ultimate closeness in human relationships. And that is the kind of relationship that Paul says we have with God, that through the Holy Spirit, we are God's family. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We are children of God when we see the Holy Spirit work in dramatic ways like the believers did in Acts 2. And we are children of God when we have no words to pray and desperately need the Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf. We are children of God not because of what we have done, not because of our good works or our strong faith or because we always please God. We are children of God because of God's grace. God has poured out the Holy Spirit on all who believe in Jesus. And even if, perhaps I should say, even when our faith wavers, even when we do not follow Jesus perfectly, because we will not, the Holy Spirit remains. And so wherever you find yourself this morning, whether you are in a spiritual mountaintop moment of joy in your faith life, or whether you are in a dark valley, I can assure you that the Holy Spirit is there. When we seek to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with us. Through the ups and the downs of life, the Spirit of God will never leave us alone. Jesus promised us that we would never be left alone because we are God's family. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you have indeed poured out your Holy Spirit in such a generous and gracious and loving way. We know, God, that we do not deserve to receive this gift, and yet you have poured it out upon us, on all of us, on all who believe in Jesus. We pray, God, that you would help us to recognize the Spirit, to recognize that sometimes the Spirit moves in mysterious ways. Perhaps the Spirit is not moving in ways that we hoped or we expected. God, help us to trust that the Spirit is there, that your Holy Spirit is there in the powerful moments of fire and wind and in the difficult moments of groanings and sighs. Help us, God, to be attentive to your Holy Spirit, to be receptive to your Holy Spirit, and to be responsive. May we follow your Holy Spirit as you lead us, as you nudge us, as you push us. Help us to follow your Holy Spirit. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This morning, our hymn of response talks about how God is the Lord of wind and flame, and that is what we have heard today. The hymn is Here I Am, Lord, number 482 in your hymnals. And as we sing, may we be aware of the Lord of wind and flame, how that Lord, how God is calling us. And may we respond with the words that are the title of this hymn, Here I Am, Lord. We know the Spirit is poured out upon us. May we respond with faith and obedience. As we sing our hymn of response, I'll be here at the altar table. If you have something on your heart that you feel led to share with our church family, or if you'd like to come and simply pray with me, I would welcome the opportunity to hear from you. Let us respond as the Spirit leads. Here I am, Lord, number 482.